And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. And thanks for joining us here on the program. This is a program that comes your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at those times at richarddugan.com. The podcasts are also available at richarddugan.com, the homepage, as well as the radio shows page. And we then podcast them on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Blueberry, and many, many other locations. And I want to thank you so much for listening. We've surpassed 10,200 listens in less than 2 years. And I don't know. That just sounds really cool to me. So I'm excited about the number. So thank you so much for listening to our interviews over the last almost 2 years. We're almost to the end of 2019, heading into 2020, which is going to be the year of perfect vision. I am declaring it now. 2020, the year of perfect vision. Let us work towards perfect vision. And I'm not talking about through your natural eyes. You know what I'm talking about if you've listened to this program for any length of time. Today's program is going to be no different. I think it's going to help us to clear our vision, our insight, if you will. I also want to remind you about those podcasts. You want to go to the podcasts on those locations I mentioned. Sometimes we go more than an hour, and we take advantage of every second we can get with our guests because they have so much to share with us, and we're going to get to our guest in just a moment. And also, if you'd like to support us, you like what we're doing, you'd like to financially help us out with the radio broadcast costs, we greatly appreciate that. We have PayPal and Patreon account links on the homepage as well as the radio shows page. And if you'd like to support us, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you have supported us, a thank you, thank you, thank you. Today's program is going to be revisiting a subject, if you will, an organization, a group, a philosophy, if you will, called the Happy Science. But we're going to be going at it from a little different. We're going into the theater. We're going to go into the cinema, and we're going to watch, and I say this euphemistically at this point because we don't have time to do that on the radio program, but I encourage you to do so, to go see a film called The Immortal Hero, and we're going to find out what that is all about. My special guest is the Happy Science Media Division Producer, Vice President of, I'm going to guess it's HS as opposed to Happy Science Productions. Nonetheless, we want to welcome to our program today, Yoichi Utebi. Thank you so much for joining us, and today you're in San Diego, and you just had the premiere.
Yes. Hi, everyone, and hello, Richard. Thank you for having me on this show.
Oh, you're very
yes. We
go ahead.
Last night, San Diego International Film Festival. It was a worldwide premiere for us, so it was a great time we had.
And the reception overall was?
It was excellent. It was great. Everybody loved it, especially the message that we tried to portray. So we had a very good time last night.
Now, we will dive into the story of the Immortal Hero, which is basically the story of the, do I say founder of Happy Science?
Founder is yes.
And his name, and I'm always hesitant to, I want to show the greatest and utmost respect both for you to pronounce your name correctly as well as to the founder. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you pronounce it for us so that it's done right the first time.
Yep, Ryuho Okawa.
Ryuho Okawa.
Yeah, we usually call him Master Okawa, so it's easier. Master Okawa.
Master Okawa. All right, so this movie is about him, about his story.
Yes.
And he had a near-death experience that changed his life. So I'm curious, can share with us his life before the near-death experience. Who was he? What was he doing? What was the philosophy that at that time he was living by, if any, for that matter, prior to the near-death experience?
Sure. So actually, in the story, it's a little bit, it's about 80% based on true story. So it's the reality in the story is a little bit different. In reality, when he did have this heart attack, he already had founded Happy Science because it happened in 2004, and he established Happy Science in 1986. So it's been about like 14 years or so,
mm-hmm.
More than that, right? After he actually right. established the tank. So
okay,
yeah. So before that, he already had Happy Science established, and he was also doing a lot of lectures and publishing a lot of books in Japan. But the big difference between the experience he had was that he decided to go overboard, to overseas. And he started to do a lot of lectures. So until that point, he was more of a writing books, you know, providing a lot of spiritual truth to the people. But mm-hmm. from 2004 afterwards, he started to do more going outward activity, including a world tour of all five continents.
So he wanted
in
to.
In reality, that's yeah. the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what was he? Let's go back to 1986
right.
when he
okay.
founded Happy Science mm-hmm. or started yeah. this. Where did he mm-hmm. get the insight, if you will, for mm-hmm. the Happy Science? And may yeah. I call it a philosophy?
Oh, you can call it philosophy, spiritual movement. We call them also as a religious newborn religion in Japan because there is a. Category called religion in Japan, which is a little bit different than how it is in the U.S., but
okay.
yeah, you can call it a spiritual movement, I okay. guess.
But Master Okawa mm-hmm. is not, he is not the, shall we say, the figurehead, as in Christianity, Jesus is the figurehead. In Islam, Muhammad is the figurehead. Mm-hmm. In Buddhism, the Buddha is the figurehead, if you will, if I can use that term.
Right.
So there is no person to follow. It is principles. It is an ideology, if you will. So where did this come from for him back in 1985,
86? So in 1981, he had a spiritual awakening. He was 81, so he was 24 years old. That's right before graduating from university. He had this calling. He felt somebody was there nearby him, and he took a pencil out, and he started writing good news, good news, good news. And that's when he had his first spiritual awakening when he was 24. And he actually established Happy Science in 1986. So, it took about 6 years or so, 6-7 years. So during that time, he was working for one of the major trading company in Japan, and he was like a leading businessman at that point. But he felt that he had to quit his job, leave everything behind, and start writing more books and try to tell people what he found about the truth. So that's when he decided to stand up on his feet, leave all the great success that he had, and started Happy Science just by himself. So that was 1986.
And so it's basically grown ever since. But in 2004, as you described, the mm-hmm. biggest transformation for him was going
yep.
from just writing books and sharing it in Japan to mm-hmm. beginning to share it worldwide, to
yes.
share this happy science with others. Mm-hmm. Give us the basic tenets of the faith. Of the philosophy, mm-hmm. of the spiritual yeah. movement.
Sure, sure. Happy Science is the most important thing is to find the true happiness. So it's science of happiness, if you like, kind of flip it. So what is true happiness? You know, there has to be a way to attain happiness for each one of us because we're all different. So we want to figure out the process, the rules of the universe, if you want to call it that way, so to seek the true happiness. So there's a lot of things that we think is happiness. You know, if you have a lot of good tangible things, a wealth, that is also happiness. But you need to balance out this happiness of outer world and happiness of the inner world. So you need both of them. If you are just inner world happy, but yet not so happy in external world, you can't really be so happy in this three-dimensional world we're living in today. So we try to, Master Oka will try to guide us through, find the true happiness that is outer world happiness and inside ourselves happiness. So that's really basically what all the books that he publishes talks about. And it's all about your mindset, right? So if you have everything starts from your mind, I mean, you know all this stuff, but, and all the listeners probably know it too, but everything starts from your mind first. Mm-hmm. And what you think is who you are, and what you think will create who you are. So eventually, that will manifest into this three-dimensional world. So, of course, inner world happiness is more important than outer world, because inner world happiness will create a happiness that is going to be surrounding you. So that's basically basic philosophy or the way of thinking in happy science.
What is the main spiritual philosophy of Japan? Mm-hmm. Is it Shintoism?
No. Shintoism, yes.
Okay.
Shintoism, yeah. But Shintoism is like a religious figure, if you want to put it that way. So people don't really believe in a certain ways of Shinto. It's more like a part of culture. So like in New Year's morning, we all go to the shrine and we put our hands together and we hope for the happiness for the family and wealth and things like that. But that's kind of part of our culture, the mm-hmm. Shinto is. Nowadays in Japan.
And I find it interesting that there is that same element within Islam where part of the culture is you pray five times a day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot for many of us.
You only pray once a year.
For many of us, if we pray at all, unless it's just asking for help. Help God! Right. You know, yeah. I'm in trouble. And whereas with Christianity, there is no... There is no cultural interplay, if you will, unless you set that up yourself. But then again, it's a different philosophy. And of course, with Buddhism, it's the same way. There is no mm-hmm. Structure, if you will, that can be incorporated into the culture and mm-hmm. so forth. Do you find that that is an important element of any a spiritual undertaking by an individual, that it's not enough to carry the book around, if there is a book to carry around. It's not mm-hmm. enough to wear the trappings. It's not enough to speak the words, you know, and so forth. But it's something that really needs to be incorporated into one's lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree.
What are some of the elements, shall we say, that one mm-hmm. could, from the happy science, mm-hmm. incorporate into our lives that mm-hmm. then become part of our personal culture,
right.
shall we say?
Right. Okay. Yeah, so I think the most important thing is it's maybe come from more of a Buddhist side than rather Christian side, but that we believe that, you know, we all are God's children, right? Child.
Mm-hmm.
And universe's child, or Buddha's child, whatever you would like to call. But we believe that we are light. We are children of light. So there's no sins when we were born. So we call them like divine nature or Buddha nature within ourselves, that we are light itself. And that is a very, very important way of thinking, because if you believe that you are the light, you can be. We can have this positiveness in you. You know, it's more like a power of positive thinking. You know, I love Norman Vincent Peale, by the way. He's one of my favorite. The positive thinking is very important, and because if you believe deeper, I'm not just talking about this surface consciousness, but in really deep subconsciousness mind, that you really believe you are light, you a positive being, then that energy would attract the positive things. There's again the laws of attraction that's working here. So positiveness of deeper inside of you is going to attract the positiveness that's surrounding you in the universe. So the positive wheel of your life will start to turn. So even how much you try to do the good things and do the good things for the world and, you know, work so hard, if you have deep, deep inside of you, the negative energy in you, that is actually attracting those negative energies around you. That's when, you know, you try so hard, but sometimes you say, why isn't my life turning better? You know, everybody else looks so happy, but why am I feeling so miserable? Why is my life so miserable? The answer is because you think your life is miserable. You know? So it's really difficult to change that very, very deepest part of your mindset. But I think that's really the first beginning that you have to overcome. And once you start to feel that there's a light inside of you, then you're going to start to see good things happening around you. So it's the energy that you radiate, I guess, from inside. So that's where I think the most important thing, when you talk about the culture and in the lifestyle, you know, incorporate the teachings in lifestyle. If I just have to say one thing, I think that would be the first thing. I would say, from what I'm learning from Happy Science.
Yeah. How long have you been a
member?
Yeah, a member. I wasn't sure whether follower, practitioner.
Yeah, followers, members, practitioner, yes. We usually call them members.
Members. Yeah. How long have you been a member of Happy Science?
Yeah, actually, I was 1987. That's the first time, the first time I met this his book was 1987. So it was 1 year after he published his the major book called The Laws of the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually just graduated from high school in the United States. I was living in New York at that time. And my friend just happened to fly back to Japan and pick this book up and came back to me. And you know, I was always into New Age stuff at that time, even though I was still a high school student. My friend just said, you know, Yoichi, this is a New Age stuff. I think you're going to like it. And when I read the book called The Laws of the Sun, even though I was still very young, I couldn't really understand it. I just felt like, wow, I think I know this. You know the feeling that when you know this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels very familiar. But you just know it.
It feels very familiar, yeah.
Yeah, I just felt this. Oh my God, I know this thing. You know, whatever it is, I just felt so comfortable reading through this book called The Laws of the Sun. And since then, I just started picking up his you know, Rihoka's books and started to incorporate it into my life. And that's how it all started. So it's not like I was Happy Science all the way, all these years. Of course, I had my, you know, my great life, you know, working in a business field. And so I was away from there. But I was always, you know, reading and trying to guide myself through his guidance, I guess. Yeah.
Were you a follower of Shintoism?
Oh, no, I'm actually a Christian. My parents are Protestant, very, very dedicated Protestant Christian. So it's very kind of rare for Japanese, but I was raised in a Christian family.
And how did your family take it when you took on the Happy Science philosophy?
Well, I you know, of course I passed it on to my father and my mother, and they are open-minded. They're so open-minded. So like, yeah, this is your life, you know, you do your thing, but we have our faith and we do our thing. And so it just worked out well that way.
Yeah. Now, I kind of want to go through a couple things here real quick with you. And that is, first of all, we've already established that there is no central figure. Yes, Master Okawa is the founder, but he is not the central figure of the Happy Science.
In a way, he is, because he's the one who's preaching all these teachings. Right?
Yes, that is true. But unlike Muhammad or Jesus of some of the more, I'll call them ancient philosophies, you don't worship Master Okawa and so forth. Yes, he is the founder, and we're grateful for what he has given us in that regard. But is there one particular book that has been written that is encouraged to be followed, shall we say, by the practitioners of Happy Science?
Yeah, we have the book is The Laws of the Sun. That's the book I was talking about. That's like a really, really basic contents. But we also have like the sutra. I guess you call it sutra, right?
Yes.
A little booklet that we all read together, pray. It's called the Dharma of the Right Mind. So that is like we recite that, practice that, and we practice a lot of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of reflection. Yes, there's a lot of different ways of practicing Happy Science teachings.
Okay. And is there anything along the lines of, I don't know, the Ten Commandments or the One Law as it is spoken of?
Sure. We have these very, very basic principles called Four Principles of Happiness. That is love, wisdom, self-reflection, and progress. Say again, love, wisdom, self-reflection, progress. So these are the four major principles of a person to become happy in your life. So this, all his teachings will relate to either the topic of love or wisdom, self-reflection, or progress. So all, everything kind of surrounds us will be incorporated into these four major principles.
And
I mean, I can go into each one of them, and it's going to take, I can speak to you for hours, but that's
Well, I like the four that you mentioned, those four elements, if you will, the main elements thereof. And one of the thoughts that occurs to me, and I'd love for you to elaborate on this if you would, please, and that is that many people believe that their particular philosophy, that which they follow, is mutually exclusive to all others, as if it was created out of some vacuum. In other words, it had no influence from the past. And yet, if we take a look at all of the religions of the world, none of them came out of a vacuum. And that my observation is that it has been, quite honestly, an evolutionary process. Now, I was a member of the Baha'i faith for about a year and a half back in the early 90s. And one of my favorite quotes in light of what we're talking about here is, if you accept one of the messengers of God, you accept them all. And if you reject one of the messengers of God, you reject them all. First of all, do you consider Master Okawa to be a messenger of God?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to that end, do you believe that the Happy Science is nothing more than the next step in man's evolution as it relates to what we've been talking about, the principles and the philosophy of Happy Science?
That is very interesting. Yeah. I mean, if you look back to, I mean, of course, we can only see what, we can only think about what we've been told. But I mean, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, and Muhammad was born 500, and Buddha was born 2,500 years ago. I'm sure there's a lot of more great figures in this earth, which we are not being taught about because it's too far away, like Hermes and all these other guys, Zeus and all these names in ancient ages, right? If you really think about it, they all were born in different age. In different time. So of course the teachings that they bring down to the people is going to be different because they have to incorporate to that certain society. So of course the teachings of Jesus is going to be different from teachings of Moses or teachings of Muhammad, right? So depending on where you are and where you are born at that time in the age, the teachings that you're going to be receiving from those great figures is going to be different. So I totally agree. You know, as the time goes into the future on this earth, I think the teachings are evolving, and there's no reason why we need to fight over it like what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes from one, I'm going to call God or the universe.
Sure.
And I believe Master Oka's teaching is one of the evolution, one of the path that's going into the future for our human evolution, if you want to put it in the big picture. So yes, I totally agree with what you are trying to say here.
Yeah. And at the same time, is it not important for us as human beings, and of course also as spiritual beings having this mm-hmm. human experience, the spiritual mm-hmm. part of us being immortal, to connect with some philosophy that will at least help us to manage, if not answer, those questions that we have about our own existence and our own place in the universe and mm-hmm. in the cosmos, as opposed to saying, okay, there's a listener out there who's probably saying, all right, you're saying that the happy science is the next step in the evolution of man and it's mm-hmm. his spiritual growth. So that means that there will be another one. So I'm going to sit back and I'm going to wait for that one.
What do you think about
somebody who decides it's kind of like with our technology today and our smartphones? I still use a Galaxy S7, okay? Mm-hmm. And I know that the S10 is out there, the 11's coming, mm-hmm. and then there's the 12. Yep. I'm gonna wait for 15. Mm-hmm. As my phone gets older and older and more decrepit and the screen cracks and, mm-hmm. and so forth. What are your thoughts on someone who either decides to wait for the latest and greatest or decides, no, I have no intention, like with your parents, of leaving my faith and the principles mm-hmm. that I was born mm-hmm. and raised into to take on this other thing that is so foreign to me?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a human nature, right? It's a basic, we don't want to go into marketing stuff because we're like a spiritual, but there's always the innovators and the ones who like in the moderate and also the followers, right? There's like three major categories of human nature. Innovator is always looking for something new. So if the iPhone 11 comes out, even though you have iPhone 10, you want to throw this iPhone 10 out and you want to purchase an iPhone 11 because this person wants to be in touch with the latest technology on this earth. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's the middle guys who are still fine with 10 or what 8, whatever. And these followers, maybe you're still using 5S, right? Because it works fine. So for them, it's okay. So I think there's nothing you can do about that, mm-hmm. and it's human nature, so I think it's fine. I mean, then there's the people who are always, like the people who came to see the Immortal Hero last night, I think they are very innovative people, innovative in spiritual ways, because they actually came down to pay to see this movie called Immortal Hero, that is an inspirational Japanese film with a subtitle. I mean, it's not a major thing. It's a very, very minor niche market. Mm-hmm. But still, for our point of view, it's innovation. It's innovative things. So if anybody is interested in this kind of things, then we are always open. But we don't push for everybody to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a limit to what you can do. So.
Absolutely. And everybody has to find their own path at their own
rate. It's all right timing for everybody.
Yeah.
So we never push anybody, you know, if they, first of all, like there's no conversion from, if you're Christian, I'm still Christian, right? So actually, if you're Islam, it doesn't matter. Anybody can come in and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. You bring with you what you have and just add to it.
Yes, and eventually, hopefully, like I did, I found out the teachings is so much, much deeper and wider where I can just go with happy science. Then again, that's the person's choice, right? So there's a lot of people who stop by happy science branches, temples, and they pick up a few books and they say, okay, great, thank you, and they leave, they never come back. But that is okay because they have been touched by teachings, and maybe 10 years from now they go through this very, very difficult suffering time, then they meet this book again and remember, oh my god, 10 years ago I read this book and mm-hmm. now it has a really, really deep meaning to it, so I'm gonna study further, and I think that is fine too.
I think it's extraordinary that not only you have taken into your mind and heart the teachings, the philosophies of happy mm-hmm. science through Master Okawa, mm-hmm. and also the process of sharing it with others. I will be quite honest with you. I struggled through the film because I always have struggled with subtitles. So it takes me, I have to pause it.
Yeah.
because sometimes the subtitles aren't kept up on the screen long enough, and then they distract me from the action on the screen.
Yes.
But the message isn't lost because I know enough, having had many of your, I'll say, colleagues, fellow practitioners of Happy Science on this program, talking about it. And I think that, and the reason we have you folks on is because it's important. We are in a period in our history, like some say, like no other. I tend to disagree that this is not like no other. This is like every period of history that we've ever had. There have always been uncertain times. There have never been certain times. There have always been tyrants. There have always been despots. And there have always been peasants and then people in the middle of those two areas. And I find that it's really important for us to almost, not quite, because you can't really do this unless you leave this world, you almost have to find a way to detach yourself from those elements of this world in order to find the happiness that that we all really want. And as you quite well said earlier, not just on the inside. We talk a lot about finding oneself and you know, this whole aspect of knowing self and finding that happiness within, but that also then can and will spill out into your outer life as far as happiness is concerned. So I applaud you for that. We're going to take a break real quick here, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation, because I really, I know that there's a lot more. There's some things that I wanted to talk to you about in reference to not just the history of the Happy Science, but also, of course, the movie that is available. Yeah. Now, it's in theaters throughout the country, and as you said, it's a niche film and in limited engagements here and there, but they can go to the website, which is immortalhero.com.
Yes.
And they can actually see the trailer. And then find out where it's showing in their area. So stay with us, folks. We're talking with Oichi Utabe. Oichi Utabe. And we're talking about the Happy Science. He is, as I mentioned earlier, the media division producer, vice president of Happy Science Productions, or HS Productions. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Keep that smile on your face. We'll be right back.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for staying with us as we continue talking with our special guest from Happy Science, and the film that we are talking about, as well as the philosophy of Happy Science, Immortal Hero. Immortalhero.com, which we will be linked to, is the website you want to go to find out more. And we are talking with Oichi Utabe, and we are talking about the film, we're talking about the philosophy, we're talking about now, I'd like to discuss, without getting into a lot of the negativity, but I'm curious about what kind of, not of the film per se, but of the philosophy, in light of what we shared in terms of the myriad philosophies out there, the kind of, maybe, I don't know if it's we want to call it blowback, or if we want to call it criticism, of other faiths, of other philosophies, and their unwillingness, in one sense, to even allow you and other people of other philosophies to even exist. I mean, we hear this all the time, that people say, oh, no, mine is the only one way. It's the true path, and there is no other. And Happy Science doesn't say that.
Right.
Talk to us. Can you talk to us a little bit about that aspect of it, if in fact, there is any?
No, there is none, actually, because we have a freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of, I don't know, there's no such thing as freedom of thinking. So we are free to do, to believe in what, you know, whatever you like to believe. So I don't know, that's a very difficult question, because that should be a very normal thing. You know what I mean? Why would person have to say this is the only thing that is true in this world? And that's just, I don't know how to accept that, because I would not be able to accept that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know, I do, I do.
I put it in different ways. So, like, I wouldn't know how to accept that. we don't want to go into too much into politics now, but because we are talking about spirituality and religion,
sure.
But,
mm-hmm.
You know, even democracy and things like that, why would any country would want need to suppress a human being? It just doesn't make any sense, right? So
yeah. I've never understood that myself.
The reality of the world, so
yeah.
That's the world we are living in today. So we have to accept it, but also accept the reality, but there's no reason for you that we have to accept that. Because if you are already conscious and understand about the freedom of your soul, then let's not accept it. You know what I'm trying to say here?
Absolutely. No, I absolutely do. And it is one of those aspects that is very difficult for a lot of people to allow. It's as if yes, we do have freedom of speech and we have freedom of religion, but ours is the only way and you have to follow ours because that was those are the principles that this country was founded under. And it's like, excuse me, but you just said I have freedom of religion, which means if I want to have as my deity a rock, isn't that my business?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. So this you can't argue with that.
No.
If the person is so concrete, you know, set to that kind of way of thinking, it's so hard to break that wall through that, you know, the person. So
unfortunately, unfortunately, politics, religion. Even mm-hmm. On an economic level, and then even so on an educational level, we do the same mm-hmm. thing. We divide.
Yeah.
Instead of accepting, oh, so that's where you are. Wonderful. Well, can I help you to progress further? Instead mm-hmm. of there is no further progression. You are right where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go any further. It was what was said to me back, back in the 80s when I was working for a Christian station. And someone, I was saying I was on my search, and they said, well, but your search is over once you find Jesus. And I knew well enough. It's one of those things you said earlier in the program about how you just know that you know. I said, well, actually, my belief is that once I found Jesus, my search has just begun.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I honestly and truly believe that mm-hmm. when you find that first principle, that first mm-hmm. philosophy, then you are on your way. But again, it goes back to another element, too, that you alluded mm-hmm. to, that is almost paradoxical.
Yeah.
We have the freedom of religion. At the same time, you and I would agree, yeah, we do. And we also have to give the freedom for people to stay right where they are. If it's serving them,
that's right.
Then
that's right.
Don't move. Don't change. We do not. Yep. It's kind of like I have a computer at home right now.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it in 2006 when we moved to Santa mm-hmm. Barbara, and mm-hmm. the original software, the operating system, mm-hmm. was Windows XP.
Right.
Well, it's been over 13 years. It's now 2019, almost 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That computer is still running with Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I have been asking people, well, do you think that I could install Windows 7 on this thing? And they say, no, because first of all, you may not have a large enough hard drive. Second of all, mm-hmm. the hardware that you are working with, the peripherals mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, they may not be compatible with this new software. And I think maybe that's kind of where we're going with the aforementioned philosophies and moving and evolving. And that is, you cannot download the newest version if you're not ready for it.
Right.
Have you found that has ever happened with individuals who find out about the happy science? Sometimes they take it on maybe a little too fast, or is that even possible?
I think so. It really depends on the person. So there are people who just discover happy science, you know, through the books and they come, but maybe every organization has its color, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way it's been run. I don't know if it could, the word run is fine, but because we have we are established in Japan, even though like there's branches in US, but we still have this Japanese culture inside, because we've been here for a while, but it's not really expanding at this point, so we still carry on the ways we do in Japan. So of course the culture is going to be different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they come, what they expect from the book and what they experience, sometimes it's a little bit different. So the way we put things together might be a little bit different. So culturally, I think we still have we still need some kind of tweaking, or we need to make a change to fit the culture of the certain market or certain area of the world. So I think that is one of the major thing that's, I'm sorry, it's a little bit really internally thing, but
sure.
When you want to expand the organization, the NPO, or whatever anybody's doing,
mm-hmm.
I think very, very important you look into the culture that you are standing in and try to incorporate that and be part of it before you push yourself into it too hard. So that's when a lot of the times people will come in, but they just don't feel comfortable, so they don't come back. But they still like the books. Because I think a lot of people are like that in the U.S. nowadays.
Yeah. I'm curious, is there any kind of a ritual or a ceremony that one would go through to become a happy science practitioner or follower or what have you? For example, as a Christian, if you are baptized, then you're a part of the Christian family. I don't know what the transition mark is for the Muslim faith and so forth. Is there something like that within Happy Science, or is it just?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So to become a member, when you become a member, you receive the sutra, go down on the right mind, like I talked about. So you have to promise that you are going to explore the right mind in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first intention that you need to have to become a member. And when you become a member, there's no fee. There's no monthly donation fee, or we don't do like 50% of your income.
The tithing thing, yeah.
Any of that kind of stuff. So after that, it's up to you. I mean, of course, we are NPO in the US. We are a religious organization in Japan. So everything has to be run by ourselves, by volunteers and people supporting us. So there is a donation system, of course, but we never push anyone into that.
It's not a requirement.
No, there's always, you know, in this world, there's always people who are like patrons. They just love to help people, and they're kind of wealthy.
Yeah.
So all those big figures would help us out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the normal people can also join and enjoy the practice, but yet the organization will still run. I think that's really, really the basics of how any of an NPO organization should run. So,
any temples or churches, any buildings that people would congregate at? Are there weekly congregational meetings or gatherings?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In Japan, there's about, I think, like 500 branches across the nation. So in every city, there's a little happy science, I think. It might not be big. U.S., there's only like less than 10 locations. So it's very, very rare to find happy science. But if you're living near a major city like New York and San Francisco and L.A., we have branches and temples there, so you can stop by and just say hi. pick up some books.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is it's extraordinary. I have to say that that people are being introduced to this through our program, and I know other areas as well, especially mm-hmm. through the debut of the movie Immortal mm-hmm. Hero and immortalhero.com. That's immortal-hero.com. Mm-hmm. That's the website, which, of course, we will be linked to send people to look at the trailer and then find out where it's showing in their area. I would venture that it will also eventually be made available online on demand.
Yes. So as a rule of industry, on demand has to wait 90 days window. So the movie is going to be released this Friday, October 18th, throughout 13 markets, including Canada. And so the VOD is going to be available from maybe January or so.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about VOD is that we have voiceover version.
Oh, excellent. I would love to
create voiceover version.
Wonderful, because I will tell you that my wife and I, we have, you know, when we come across a film that is of a foreign language with subtitles, and she knows the frustrations that I feel, she'll wait until I'm at work if she's staying home or what have you, or I'm doing a ball game to watch those films. But we have watched a number of movies as well as television programs that have the English overdubbing, and you know, it doesn't bother me that the lips don't match the words because I'm able to focus on the action and obviously hear the dialogue. And they do such a marvelous job of making sure that all the sounds and the music as well as the voices, they work so well so that you aren't distracted from the action and the message that's being put forth. Hey, by the way, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Master Okawa. When he started writing his books, I am assuming, hopefully rightly so, you know how dangerous assuming can be, that he wrote them in Japanese. Is there any problem or issue with translating, and in our conversation here, from Japanese into English, where there's a certain element that is lost in translation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, lost in translation, always. Translation, you always lose something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how do you overcome that? How did he, and how does Happy Science overcome that?
Well, we have division that does all the translation work. So they are the ones who does it. We have numbers of people who does it. And it's been quite years at this point, so there's a lot of experts.
Mm-hmm.
We built the words, I guess, throughout the years, the certain ways of saying things. But I still feel when I read the book in Japanese and I read the book in English, even though it's the same title, it's different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Energy. I mean, because when Master Oka writes, he actually writes in Japanese. So that's his power. It's his energy is 100% there. But when it's in translation, the words are the same, but I don't know, just the energy that I get into me, spiritual energy, I guess, that is different. Less, I guess, I don't know, maybe put it in this way, the less light. When he writes on his own, when you read the book, the inspiration I get from those words are very powerful. But when I read it in English, it kind of goes down. I don't know how many percent. There's, you know, maybe 70% or maximum 80, 100. You know, when it kind of goes down. So the energy or the inspiration after I read the book is a little bit different than what I would read in Japanese. But then again, that is so difficult because the languages are... Languages exist in this world. So.
Well, one of the things that has always fascinated me, and I have to say that, you know, growing up in the United States, being born in Arizona and being raised in a Roman Catholic family and so forth, I've always found other beliefs, other philosophies very interesting. I even went to a Mormon church once. Our neighbors were Mormons, and I wanted to see what that was like. And so one Sunday morning, I went with the family to their temple and their church and participated in their mass or their service. And I got home, and my mom says, okay, you've been there, and that doesn't count, so you still have to go to mass.
Right.
But what's always intrigued me About the world's religions, the world's languages, especially the written language, is where in the Sam Hill did they come up with this stuff that they're able to read it? I mean, I look at the Middle Eastern languages.
Yep.
I look at the Asian languages, for example, with Chinese and Japanese. They aren't words. They're characters. You create these multi-lined characters. And is it read from top to bottom, and then you go back up to the next row and go down or column? Right. That's how Japanese and Chinese are read from top to bottom.
Yeah, we go down,
column by column.
Down, from right to left. Yes.
And each one of those characters that is drawn, that is created, the multi-line characters, if that's the right word to use, has a meaning all its own.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like in Hebrew. Each letter has a meaning, has a legend behind it.
That's
and then
right.
when you translate it, you lose that legend. As you were just saying, the level of energy from Japanese to English or any other language is diminished because it's kind of hard to, again, translate it so that it's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to the question one more time. Is there anything that... You talk about having experts and all, but has there been an effort, or is it even possible to have an effort to overcome that energetic loss?
Yeah, there is. Master Oka speaking and writing in English. I mean, his English is not, you know, his English is not like, you know, native English level where he can just go out there and say hi everybody and start talking, you know,
fluently.
But his English is fluent.
Right.
So he's been doing a lot of English lectures, and he's been actually writing English books with his words. So, you know, I think more of that is going to come from into the, you're talking about the evolution thing, right? So evolution for happy science, in order for us to spread towards more of English language countries, I think the energy level, from my point of view, will be needed. So that's why Master Okawa actually just did a lecture in Toronto on October 6th, 1 week ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was just there speaking in English. So little by little, he's doing the English lectures. I mean, he's been doing English lectures for years, but...
Yeah. Now, I'm curious about his... what level of education did he achieve?
Oh, so he graduated from Tokyo University as a in a law degree, and he also went to the graduate school in New York, New York City. Sorry, I forgot the name of it. CUNY. Yeah, university, and got the degree there as well. So
we're talking about
super smart.
we're talking about a very well educated man.
Oh, very, very well. Super smart.
Yeah. And, now I'm curious as to, because normally we are speaking with you or with other representatives. Does Master Okawa ever grant interviews?
Oh, does he grant? He's done Financial Times years back ago. And if there's a major opportunity, I would like to. Personally, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, we haven't had that chance yet.
Right.
But
well,
I would like...
you put a bug in someone's ear, if you would, that we would love to have him on the program. I think that would be a wonderful thing to get it straight from him as well and hear him speak about the happy science, that which he has brought forth. Because we can use all the happiness we can get, no matter what period of time we're in. That's one of the things that I have been working with a lot of folks on, and that is, again, this is not about being PC or politically correct here. This is just about, I mean, you talked about the law of attraction earlier, and I believe that our words attract to us those elements in our lives that, that those words attract. And so the longer we continue to talk about uncertain times, we're going to have those kinds of times. But if we finally recognize that there's no such thing as uncertain versus certain times, because there are no, we don't know if there isn't a comet or a meteor the size of the sun heading straight for us right now that within a split second, we're going to be vaporized. We don't know.
Yeah.
And there's there's not going to be anybody here to say, oh, those were uncertain times.
Yeah. If the God, universe, the will says, you know what? Earth people are not doing well, so let me just delete them. Boom. that could happen too, right?
Oh, hit the delete key? Oh, please.
Delete key. The God hit the delete key on Earth because we are so bad. Bad children. You start everything from scratch. Boom. Done.
But that's not the perspective of the happy science, that we're bad.
No. Making it up as a joke.
No. I understand that. So I'm curious. Let me ask you a couple of quick basic questions, and then we're going to wrap things up here on the program. And again, thank you so much for giving us so much time. What is the perspective of the happy science on the creation of the universe?
How it started? It started off with God's will, universe's will. There was a will, right, first. So there is, I mean, nobody knows, we don't even know, nobody knows who's this will, but I'm sure the universe was created by some kind of will that wanted it to happen. And so the universe was created, and in the universe, there was a will to create galaxy, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Multi-dimensional galaxies.
Okay.
So there's one galaxy, there's billions and billions of galaxies that's been created. Then within the galaxy, there's a solar system, and in the solar system, there's a planet. So we believe that everything is alive.
Okay.
It's because there's a will, you know what I mean? Even Earth is, of course, alive. Earth has consciousness. This is very common nowadays, right? People call it Gaia and things like that. So Earth is actually a living being.
Yeah.
And the solar system is also living, galaxy. And we all know there's billions and billions of galaxies in this. And also there's a multi-dimensional universe. So that gets to the point where it's just so huge, we won't be able to understand it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what we believe is that we are a part of the huge, huge universe and galaxy, because God's will created the galaxy, and within that, at the end of the day, God also created each one of us. So we are, of course, we are connected to everything because we are part of this galaxy, which the will created.
So let me ask you then, to that end, why, and again, this is all coming from the happy science.
Yeah.
Why were we created? What is our purpose here as mankind?
Okay, I think it's love. It's the energy of love, mercy. So it's like father and child, or mother and child relationship. So the will created us, and this God would like us, each children, to become like him or her. I'm actually going to use her, him. And because there is happiness, the evolution of soul, there's a happiness to it. Isn't there happiness? If you find something, discover something new, and you feel you are enlightened a little bit more than what you were yesterday, you feel you are grown up as a soul better than yesterday, we all feel happiness there. And that happiness is the energy that God created us for. So God's saying, you know, all my children, come back to me and become like me. So one day, I hope one day I can become like him. You can become like him instantly. There's going to be millions and millions of years of soul training that you cultivate one by one through all the experiences you're going to have in this billions of years of life cycle that you're going through. But one day, you can always become like him because you are part of him. So that's why they create us to enjoy the happiness of you know, growing yourself as a soul. I guess. I mean, I'm not God, so I can't answer that question. Nobody can, but that's how I'm looking at it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I have to say, I put this out here every time. My perspective, if anyone was to adopt any philosophy of any kind, whether it be the happy science or otherwise, I think that the most honest philosophy to adopt, if one is searching, is agnosticism. To say I don't know is the most honest statement that one can make, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because that means that if you don't know, you're searching, and you're searching, you're trying to find out.
Right.
And so at least you're open to the possibilities, right?
Yeah. Yes. And we all know this feeling of love and feeling of this light energy makes us happy, right? You make, this is like a fundamental nature of human beings. Like when you feel love from others, or you give love to others, you feel this warmness in your heart, right? This is like everybody does. It's not like you have it or you don't have it. We all do. And I think that's the most important thing when you're searching for something, that you search with guidance of that inner self, that are you feeling really, really happiness in you? Do you feel the energy of love and light inside of you? Are you feeling the warmness? Are you happy? Yeah. That's the question you need to ask. And that's why I'm studying happy science too, so he can guide us through.
Absolutely. So give me those four pillars one more time.
Sure. It's love, wisdom, self-reflection, and progress.
Love it.
I'd like to come back to you and talk about this one by one.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Let's set something up to where we do that, because I think that we can, as you said, we could spend hours, but we could take 15 minutes talking about love, 15 minutes talking about self-reflection, progress, and so forth. And I just, I am just so pleased that there are people out there. I have been over the years greatly surprised by where people of very firm faiths are coming from and where they're going to, that they don't necessarily buy into the party line, as I like to say, that they're searching in spite of the fact that they maybe have, they've been a Christian for 20, 30 years. It's like, but see, I also believe in this and I believe in that. And it's not part of the doctrine and dogma of that particular philosophy. And what that does for me is it says there is hope for the future of man, because these folks who have adopted this, as it's perceived, very rigid philosophy, they're taking the rigidity out of it by continuing to search. And I just, I applaud people who are doing that, and I'm hoping that we can encourage others. So you bet, we will set something up for down the road here in 2020 so that, and by the way, as I said at the front end of the program, 2020 is the year of perfect vision.
Okay.
And I think that to incorporate into that perfect vision happiness, how much brighter and exciting things will look in that perfect vision for us as we continue to progress and evolve and move forward in our lives and help others to do the same. And I really do greatly appreciate you and the work that you are doing to enlighten us, as well as Master Okawa. And Yoichi Utabi, I thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
Everybody,
and I thank you.
Please come to see the movie October 18th.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to encourage our listeners to go to the immortal-hero.com to see the trailers. You'll find a place where you'll probably know where the movie is showing. You can go there and see it. And also maybe find out more about Happy Science and see what we can do to facilitate that. And I thank you so much. And before we let you go, I do have three final questions that I'd like to ask all of my guests, but I do want to remind our listeners that if they would like to support this program, we'd greatly appreciate it. PayPal and Patreon accounts are available, and if you can do that, great. We'll take energetic support as well. We're certainly willing to do that as well, because that goes a long way to help us to continue to move forward as well. So thank you for all of that. So first of three questions, the first is... And you may have answered these questions along the way, but I like to ask these directly. Who is Yoichi Utabi?
Okay, I'm That's very good. Oh my God. What kind of answer are we?
Whatever comes to mind, my friend. Whatever comes to mind.
Well, Yoichi Utebi is a person who is always looking for the biggest love to share with as many people as possible in this world. How's that?
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
So again, I would like to share the teachings of Happy Science and Master Ryuho Okawa so everybody can find the way to happiness like how I found it.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Okay, so my life's purpose, again, I mean, since I'm already doing this now, is to share the message of happy science through all different types of ways. So it could be movies, maybe it could be lectures, or any ways I can do, I like to share. That's what my mission is, I think, in my life.
And again, I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, and we will have you back to talk about those four pillars.
So the last few things, I wasn't really, I thought you were talking to the audience.
No. But I thank you, and I really do appreciate what you've shared with us here on the program. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate the fact that you are here with us, joining us each time we have a program, a podcast. And we encourage you to continue listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, as we give you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And until next time, love, Talal.